Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Happiness Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Miss Pat Duckworth. Pat, why don't you take it from here?
I'm taking it from here, and I'm going to be talking about hormone havoc and how you can get back in control of it. So if you're a woman or a man in the midlife years, and yes, gentlemen, I am going to be talking to you too. You may have noticed some changes going on. You might even have been trying to ignore them. There's those physical changes, like putting on a bit of weight, particularly around your waist. You might have been pulling on your skirt or your pants and suddenly realized it's feeling a bit snugger. Or it might be that your skin has lost some of its plumpness and elasticity, or perhaps that hair's getting a bit thinner. Or you may even be sprouting hair from places it's never been before. But as well as those physical changes, you might have noticed some mental or emotional changes. Perhaps you're not sleeping so well, and that memory is getting a bit worse. Or it could be that you've lost some of your old confidence or your mojo. You might even be getting more stressed more easily. And all of this is having an effect on your general health and your wealth, because you're not performing as good at work, and it's having an effect on your happiness as well. So what is going on, and can it just be those pesky hormones? Well, in women, the levels of the reproductive hormones, the estrogen and the progesterone, start to reduce after the age of just 25. And that process accelerates after 35 as you move towards menopause. And women's testosterone levels drop too. Yes, ladies, we get testosterone too. And the average age of menopause in the US and the UK is 51. But the symptoms can start quite naturally after the age of 40. And that progesterone tends to reduce faster, giving rise to what's called estrogen dominance. Now, some women experience menopause early. If it's before the age of 40, it's called premature ovarian failure. And that's something that you might need to go and talk to your in the UK, we call them GPs, but for you, it's medical practitioners. And of course, also there's medical menopause that's called by hysterectomy or chemical balances due to hormone treatment for cancer. But let's go off to those men. The reproductive hormones in men reduce during these years too. The levels of testosterone that you had in your teens and 20s start to drop, as does you get estrogen too, gentlemen, and that starts to drop too. And that can give rise to symptoms for you. Some men even experience those hot flashes. But it's not just the reproductive hormones that are in decline at this time. There's also a change in what are called the major hormones, that is insulin, thyroid, adrenaline, and cortisol. So those reproductive hormones that affect us women so much during our lives are referred to as the minor hormones. Who would have guessed? But let's go back to those major hormones. And firstly, insulin. When the reproductive hormones dip, the insulin levels go higher. And the insulin resistance that's caused by that is a precursor for type 2 diabetes. And that's made worse by high cortisol levels, and we're going to talk about that, by low-fat diets. Yes, I said low-fat diets. Excessive intake of carbohydrates, so that's the bread, the rice, the pasta. It's caused by processed foods, or made worse, alcohol, smoking, lack of exercise, and some prescription drugs as well. Then there's that thyroid function. So hypothyroidism or underactive thyroid typically affects people, that's men and women, after the age of 40. And it causes elevated cholesterol levels, and it can lead to heart disease and infertility, fatigue, weight gain. Oh my goodness, I'm painting a picture. Depression and increased risk of cancer. And then there's hyperthyroidism, that overactive thyroid that damages the cells in the heart and the other muscles, and it can lead to things like osteoporosis and feeling wired and agitated and unable to sleep. So signs to look out for is that enlarged thyroid in the throat, unexplained weight gain, fatigue, paleness of the skin, joint pain, constipation, hair loss, and depression. Oh, so let's look after the thyroid. You can also get changes in the production of adrenaline, and that can lead to symptoms if you haven't got enough adrenaline, of fatigue, poor sleep. You can start to crave caffeine to get that buzz, or other stimulants, palpitations, and recurrent infections. So do you see how all these hormones, this havoc that's going on? And finally, let's talk about cortisol. So cortisol and adrenaline are really important to get us going, helping us to feel geared up, but they're also related to stress. So low levels of cortisol can give rise to fatigue, a muscle weakness, sweating, mood swings. Ladies, think about the mood swings. Muscles and joint pain and irritability. But high levels of it can lead to sleep disturbance and chronic anxiety and weight gain. And it's that weight gain around the waist that can be an indicator of stress and overproduction of the cortisol. So generally, when we're younger, particularly, the body's really adept at handling cortisol and adrenaline surpluses. And the body actually in women uses a safety buffer that is the female hormones of progesterone and estrogen. And those chemicals protect the body against the harmful effects of that overproduction. But of course, as you head into midlife and into menopause, those levels of progesterone and estrogen start to diminish, and the body isn't as good at buffering the high levels of cortisol and adrenaline. Oh, I've painted such a doom and gloom picture, but I'm going to tell you there are some simple things that you can do, practical changes that you can make to tame that hormone havoc and get back in control. Now, in my work with women and men at midlife, I found that the first aspect to address is their stress levels. It's not unusual for people at midlife to be leading very busy lives at home and at work. At home, you might be dealing with those teenagers or young people who haven't yet flown the nest, or perhaps they did once and they've bounced back again. And you might have older parents that you're responsible for. And then at work, it could be that you've reached a level of your work where you've got more responsibility and there's that expectation that you're going to work longer hours. So lots of possibility there for creating stress. And the more stressed you are, the more cortisol and adrenaline you produce, and that's overheating your system, increasing all of those risks of stroke and diabetes and the other health conditions. And stress makes menopause symptoms worse as it overheats your system. So I just want to go back to a client who came to see me. Imagine this woman walking into my therapy room and she's looking tired and deflated, defeated. And she sits down and she says to me, "Pat, I don't know how many sessions I'm going to have with you because my life is a mess. I'm in my late 40s, so I think I'm going through menopause. I'm getting those mood swings. I'm not sleeping properly. All of my colleagues at work hate me because I'm so irritable and I just want to get away on my own. And then I come home and I don't stop moaning to my husband. So he hates me as well. And I hate myself. I just hate the way I feel." So that's a really nice package to be working on. So I said to her, you know, let's start with those levels of stress that you're getting at work and at home, and let's see where we get with that. So we start working on her stress, giving her some relaxation techniques, some self-help techniques that she can just work away and take away and work on for herself. And also, because I am a cognitive hypnotherapist, I do a relaxation recording for her with all the sorts of messages in it about how she wants life to be rather than how it is at the moment. And I need to use all of her words about what good looks like. So imagine the scene 2 weeks later, and she walks back into the same therapy room, and this is a woman who's looking relaxed and at ease with herself, and she's smiling. And there was no way that she was going to smile to me the last time she came. In fact, I should have painted the picture fully, that when she arrived the last time, the receptionist didn't tell me that she was waiting for me. So when I went out to collect her 5 minutes late, there was already steam coming out of her ears. But now she's looking relaxed and calm, and we talk through everything. and she feels so different, she's not even sure why she's come back for a second session. So just by working on that stress and anxiety, we've calmed down those hormones and she's more able to cope now. So what are the sort of things that I was advising her to do? Well, let's start with that first solution, which is around looking at what you're eating and drinking. Your food and your drink are your building blocks. We can so easily ignore that. We just think, oh, I'm in a rush. I'll just, whatever I throw down my throat is okay. I just need to not be hungry anymore. But of course, that's not the case, because these are the building blocks, not only for your physical body, but for your emotions as well, and for your brain. You know, what you eat builds your brain as well. So start thinking about the things that you need to reduce in your diet. And the first one is sugar. So there's sugar hidden in so many things that we eat. If you're eating any sort of processed food, you're going to find sugar in it. Now, I'm not talking about it just as in the breakdown of the nutrition, because often there's sugar in the fruit and the vegetables that are contained in your food, and that's fine. But if you see sugar as an ingredient, you're looking for things that end in OSE, the O's, so glucose, maltose, fructose. All of those are sugars, however they're wrapped up. And if you can reduce the amount of sugar, you're going to stop, or at least help, those mood swings. The sugar puts you on a bit of a high, but what follows the high? The roller coaster down, the dip, until you're down at the bottom, and now you think, oh, I better eat some more sugar, so you can get that high again. But what you want is a gentle up and down, you know, that natural rhythm that occurs. So the more that you can look out for sugar in your diet, the more you can start to reduce it. That's really going to help with those mood swings. It's going to help you to maintain a better mood generally. And of course, that sugar increases the level of cortisol in your bloodstream as well. So, you know, let's get rid of some of that sugar. Is it in the drinks that you're having as well? Can you reduce the number of sodas that you're having? And even look at your smoothies. You think of smoothies as being quite innocent things to drink, but have a look at the amount of sugar there is in them. And if there's too much sugar, well, perhaps, you know, not have as many or as much as you would normally. How about the caffeine? Oh my goodness. So the caffeine can give you a bit of a buzz, but again, it's releasing cortisol into your blood. So it's wiring you. So how could you reduce it? Or can you just have one coffee a day? Just have a coffee at the beginning of the day and not later on in the day, because later on in the day, it's going to disrupt your sleep. And it's going to heat you up as well. If you're having hot flashes, notice what that caffeine's doing to you. So what can you do about that caffeine? Are you having any energy drinks? Look at the amount of caffeine in those. I once had somebody come to a sleep course that I was doing. He was only a young man, and he said to me, I really have a problem with sleep. My legs jump all over the place at night. I just can't get to sleep properly. So I said, okay, we'll come back to that as the day goes on. Just see if any solutions occur to you. Later in the day, he said to me, I think I've worked it out, Pat. I have 8 cans of Red Bull a day. 8 cans. No wonder his legs were jumping all over the place. So there's a price that we pay for these things. Think about how you can reduce your caffeine. Think about as well what you could put into your diet that's going to support you more. So vegetables. We tend to talk about eating fruit and vegetables. We should talk about it the other way around. Eat your vegetables and your fruit. The fruit, even naturally, has lots of sugar in it. It has that fructose in it. So we need some fruit because it helps us with the vitamins, it helps us with the fiber. And the darker fruits are good, so eating the berries, the raspberries, the blackberries, the blueberries, they're all going to be good in moderation. But look at how you can include more vegetables, particularly, you know, if you're not living in California or one of the hotter parts of America, then this time of year is probably the time you're starting to see more of the fresh salads coming in. So those above ground vegetables have less sugar in them. The lettuce, the tomatoes, all of those lovely salad vegetables, get yourself some of those. And the more you eat of those, the more they're going to help you to regulate your system. So just think about that. Can you drink more water? Can you drink more fruit teas? Anything like that, so you're keeping your system with lots of hydration in it rather than the sugars and the alcohols that are not doing your system any good. For the women, can you have more of the vegetables that contain the phytoestrogens, the plant estrogens? And those are things like chickpeas and lentils and things with beta carotene in them, like the sweet potatoes and the carrots. Having more of those in your diet is really going to help you. Can you eat more things that contain fermented soya? So we're not saying soya milk, because that comes from raw soya, and we know there's lots of genetically modified soya. And that kind of raw soya isn't so good for you. You're looking for the fermented soyas, like the miso and the tempeh and the tofu. Putting those into your diet is going to help you with your estrogens. So once you've sorted out your diet, and take a real look at it and start to become more aware of the things that you're eating that are perhaps triggering symptoms, the more aware you become, the more you can rule out the things that aren't working for you. So now look at the second solution. How about the exercise you're taking? I guess you knew with anything about mood, I was going to talk about exercise. I don't have to tell you that regular exercise increases the presence of those feel-good hormones in your blood. It improves your physical and your emotional health. It even improves your brain health. Research done a few years ago showed that people who exercised in the morning were creating more brain cells that they could yet then use to populate as the day went on to do their work. That children who exercised in the morning could improve their performance in school, improve their performance even on the subjects that they didn't like. So just imagine getting out there, doing some exercise in the morning and actually finding yourself performing better at your work, whether you're in an office, whether you're working for yourself, just generally feeling like you've got more brain power. Of course, if you exercise in the morning, then you're not overheating your body or overstimulating it later in the day when you want to get to sleep. I go out in the morning and I do my exercise first thing, so I've set myself up for the day, and then I'm not having to worry about doing it later in the day. I'm not watching a Fitbit or some kind of counter and having to run up and down the stairs 10 times before I go to bed. So think about what it is that you can do. I know you're already saying to me, Pat, I haven't got enough time. I can't get to the gym. I haven't got the energy. Stop thinking about what you can't do and just think what you can do. What could you fit into your day that would mean that you could get regular exercise? And then thinking about that brain health, what are you doing to exercise your brain cells? Are you challenging your brain by learning new things or simply by changing a routine? You know, if you change a routine, even if you just change where you keep familiar objects that you use regularly, change where you keep your hairbrush or your wallet or your car keys, it challenges the brain to create a new neural pathway. You can just do simple things, even if you're doing the crossword puzzle or Sudoku. But also, I mean, combine that with the exercise. If you're doing stretches, yoga, Pilates, and Tai Chi, you're actually challenging the brain as well as the body. I do my Tai Chi every morning because I know that that's challenging my memory and both sides of my brain as I do it. I'm breathing, I'm just getting all sorts of benefits from it. And of course, I'm getting some meditation from it. So physical and mental, that meditation is just so good for your health and so good for those hormones. You're just helping everything get balanced back out. I'm just going to briefly now touch on lifestyle. I talked about it before with the cortisol and the adrenaline. If you're still smoking, I can't even be nice about it. Stop smoking. Get help. You know, sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes it can be super easy. Sometimes it's just a habit. You're not an addict. You've just developed a habit, a pattern of how you live your life. And if you break that pattern, You can get over it really quickly. That's how I helped my husband to stop smoking. I'm not going to give you all the details. If you want to, contact me and I can tell you, but we just broke the habit and the pattern that he'd got into, and within a couple of days, he'd stopped smoking. So it doesn't have to be difficult. Alcohol is empty calories. I know you think it's fun. It might be relaxing you a bit, but it does disturb your sleep. You don't get good quality sleep with that alcohol. Also, it probably means, depending on what you're drinking, you'll have to get up during the night to go to the bathroom. That's not doing your sleep any good either. You're dehydrated. You're having to drink more water. And possibly it's adding to that waistline problem as well. And to relieve that stress, think about how you're managing your time. A few simple time management techniques can start you on that way to less stress. So you know about the to-do list. Do your to-do list at night. Before you go to bed, set yourself up for the next day by getting your to-do list done. Even put stars next to it so you've prioritized it. When you've prioritized it, it means you're not doing the easy stuff first and then, oh my goodness, it's the end of the day and I'm tired and I'm doing the hard stuff. So think about your to-do list. Think about your to-don't list. Yeah, what could you stop doing that would give you more time, more energy, more time to do the to-do things? Are there things that you're doing that you really don't need to do? Perhaps it's that social media. Perhaps it's some of your housework. Perhaps you could outsource some things so you're not doing it and you can concentrate on the things that really support you and make your life good. So finally, I'm going to talk about relaxation, because this is the important bit. And if I only taught you one thing, if I only gave you one clue through listening to this, it would be to get some relaxation breathing techniques. I teach all of my clients the most basic, simple breathing technique, and that is to breathe out for longer than you breathe in. So if you count as you breathe in, count for longer as you breathe out. I don't care what the count is. Some people are really shallow breathers. You might only breathe in for 3. Well, then breathe out for 4 or 5. If you're a really super breather and you breathe in for 7, breathe out for 10 or 11. And what you're doing is you're triggering your parasympathetic system. That's the system that wants to relax you and bring you back into balance. So just think about that, just that easy technique. You can do it during the day if you're at work and things are getting on top of you. Go into your breathing. Nobody else needs to know that you're doing it, as long as you're not huffing and puffing out loud. You can even take yourself away somewhere, head off to the bathroom. A minute of this breathing is going to calm you down. 3 minutes of it, superb. If you're laying in bed at night and you're not sleeping properly, go into this breathing. 3 minutes of this breathing, it's going to have calmed you down, got you to a better place. So just practice that kind of breathing and notice how it relaxes you. There are lots of other breathing techniques like centered breathing or those breathing where you pause in the middle. But just start with something that you know you can do easily and see how you get on with it. Now, I wanted to offer you something that's going to help you with that hormone havoc and getting back into control of it. And this is for you men as well as for the women. So my website is called Hot Women Cool Solutions. Hot Women Cool Solutions. I hope you get that from my accent. And from that website, there is a sign-in and there are all sorts of resources there. There are relaxation recordings. So they take you into relaxation and then they give you messages. So there are all sorts of special ones on there. There's ones for relaxation, for weight loss, for better sleep. And you can just download them. They're a great resource. So you can download those. You can listen to them at night. My only instruction to you is to listen to them at a time when you can close your eyes and relax. This is not something that you listen to while you're driving the car. Oh, no. Download them, save them to any MP3 device, whether it's your phone or an iPod or an iPad or whatever, and then listen to them at a time when you can relax and find the time that's good for you. Perhaps you need a break midday or mid-afternoon, or perhaps evening is the only time that you can do it. Whenever's good for you to relax, listen to it. Because remember that that relaxation is reducing the amount of cortisol and adrenaline in your blood. It's calming your system down. It's cooling it down. And that's the start of getting back in control of your hormones. So I hope you've enjoyed that. I hope you've got some really good tips for that. Remember, we started by looking at what you were eating and drinking. We looked at exercise. We looked at brain exercise. We talked about lifestyle. And finally, those relaxation techniques. So see what you can do from all of that. Don't think about what you can't do. Think about what you can do. What can you fit into your life that's going to make the difference for you? It's been a pleasure talking to you about this. And if you're coming to Las Vegas, I hope to see you there.